You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Happy Wednesday, everybody. And happy game day, happy hump day, happy Timberwolves-Kings game this evening. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to us by Calm. For a limited time, our listeners can join LeBron in using Calm and get a 40% discount off a premium subscription. Go to calm.com/LockedOnNBA. All right, as I said, Wolves-Kings tonight. We are going to hit a Wolves-Kings preview here shortly. First, though, I want to talk about the three things that are wrong with the Timberwolves so far this season. The Wolves are just 4-9. It's been a disaster is maybe a little bit of a strong word, but it's certainly not the start to the season that anybody thought the Wolves would have. Certainly anybody hoped the Wolves would have. So I want to kind of break that down. What are the three main things that are wrong with the Wolves? And there's certainly more than three. We're going to oversimplify it. I get that. But if you said to me, if you were explaining to a non-Timberwolves fan, what's wrong with the Timberwolves? These are the three things that I would say. And then we'll close today by checking in on the Iowa Wolves. Leandro Balmaro played in the Iowa Wolves game last night, as did, of course, McKinley Wright the fourth. And they got another win. Both those guys played great. So I want to check in on how that game went for Iowa. All that's on the show today. Of course, a reminder here off the top, or first of all, thank you, I guess, for making Locked On Wolves your first listen each and every day. And remember, Locked On Wolves is free and available on all platforms. That includes YouTube as well as Apple, Google, Spotify, and the all-new Odyssey app. You can also follow on Twitter at Lockdown T-Wolves and at B Beacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right. So the three biggest things that are wrong with the Wolves, if you're talking to a non-Timberwolves fan, if you were going to go talk to any other person and just say, hey, my favorite basketball team has three big issues. What are they? Number one, this is, again, it seems oversimplified, but this is really what it is. The Timberwolves just can't make open shots. And this isn't one of those like, we just missed shots today. You know, like you might hear from a player in a post-game press conference after they lose, whatever. This is now a sustained issue over the course of the first 13 games of the season. And for the most part, the Timberwolves offense, while the flow hasn't been great, they've actually been generating a decent number of open shots. Not as many as you'd like to see, but the Wolves are getting three-pointers up at the rim. They're getting the best shots at the rim. They're first in the league in three-point attempts per game. They have been basically all season. And most of them aren't terrible contested shots. I mean, there's a few Anthony Edwards, D'Angelo Russell kind of chucking it at the rim, heat checks after they've only made one or two shots in a row. Those are certainly mixed in, but most of the Wolves' threes are pretty good shots. So it's not like they aren't generating mostly open shots. They're just simply not making them. They're 24th in three-point shooting percentage, 32.8%. They're 29th in overall field goal percentage, 41%, 29th in the league. So second to last in overall field goal percentage, seventh to last in three-point percentage. And the Wolves offense as a whole currently ranks 26th in offensive rating. That's according to Basketball Reference's version of offensive rating. So just making open shots. And obviously there's a lot that goes into that. And the flow of the offense hasn't been great. They haven't been very good in transition, which obviously drags down that offensive rating. But they've also gotten open threes in transition. Malik Beasley, up until the other night when he played fairly well on Monday in the loss to Phoenix, he's mostly been bad, and he's generally good in transition. He missed a shot, a layup in transition the other night. D'Angelo Russell, again, not what you'd expect from him from three-point range. I mean, the Wolves came into the season with three, four guys who have shot roughly 40% in at least one season in their career. I mean, Torian Prince did it last year. D'Angelo Russell was close to that last year, which was a little bit of an outlier, but still he's 36% for his career. Patrick Beverley's hovered around the 38-39%. Karl Anthony Towns is roughly 40% for his career. These guys are all, except for Towns, shooting well below career averages. Patrick Beverley is only 36%. D'Angelo Russell's only 34%. Malik Beasley's 30.5%. This is a guy who's basically a career 40% three-point shooter. He's shooting 10 points below his career average. Anthony Edwards is actually right in line with where he was last year, 32.8%. I think he finished last year like 32.7% or 32.9. It's literally within a tenth of a percent of where he finished last year. So most of it is just missing open shots. As terrible as that is, that's one of the biggest issues. Number two, And this isn't really in any particular order, but number two, defensive rebounding. The defense as a whole, much improved. Even after this, like, I guess overall in the month of November, I read NBA.com in their power rankings this week talked about the Timberwolves being the fourth worst defense so far in November, admittedly through 2 weeks, halfway through the month. They were the fourth best in the 2 weeks of October. Well, altogether, they're 13th in defensive rating. They held the Phoenix Suns to 99 points on Monday, albeit in a loss. The defense is improved. However, the defensive rebounding is not. They've been dead last basically all year. They just got their defensive rebounding rate just a touch over 70%. They're at 70.5% now, which is still 30th in the league in defensive rebounding percentage. So if you're not familiar with that metric, that way of measuring it, it's much more accurate than rebounds per game because it takes into account pace, essentially, a number of possessions. That means that almost 30%, again, almost a third of rebounds, a third of missed shots by their opponents are rebounded by their opponents, which cannot happen. I mean, if you're going to be a legit good defense, the fact that the Wolves are 13th in defensive rating, but 30th in defensive rebound rate is actually fairly impressive and very surprising. It also goes to show if they could just secure the rebound, this would probably be like a top six or seven defense. Karl-Anthony Towns has mostly held his end of the bargain, although he's not even averaging double digits in rebounds this year. This would be the first time in his career, I believe, that he'd be under a double-double. I should actually confirm that. I've got it pulled up right here. Let's see. Cat for his career has, he's never averaged under 10 rebounds in a game. So he's at 9.6 rebounds per game. Again, not as accurate of a measurement of his rebounding skill as rebound percentages, but his rebound percentage is way down, 13.7% for his career. He's a hair under 19%, but he's got four seasons above 19%. So he's not exactly holding up his end of the bargain, but he is far from the only one that deserves blame for this. I mean, you look at the rest of the roster and outside of him and Jared Vanderbilt, nobody else is rebounding the ball. Naz Reid is 10.1%. Nobody else on the team is in double figures or in 10% or higher in terms of total rebound rate, which is miserable. And add that up and you got a team rebound rate, defensive rebound rate of just 70.5%. That's an issue. And it's something that this team's got to get figured out. All right. The last bullet point here in terms of the three biggest issues is Karl-Anthony Towns' usage. I talked about this about a week ago. It hasn't changed, so I'm going to keep touching on it. This is going to be a regular topic here on the show if it doesn't get fixed. Karl-Anthony Towns' usage rate. Karl-Anthony Towns is, and I said this before, and I saw that some people thought this was an outlandish statement. It's not. Karl-Anthony Towns is one of the best big shooting big men of all time, if not the best shooting big man of all time. How many roughly seven footers, are we talking about that are threatening a 50-40-90 season? And he's got the 50-40. He's done that multiple times. He's just missing the 90. And so it's well within range for Karl-Anthony Towns. That's not something outside of Dirk. That's not something any big man has really ever seriously threatened. So at any rate, if you've got a guy that's that efficient, you want him shooting the ball a lot, right? That's obvious. I shouldn't have to say that. Towns is a distant third now, and the gap keeps widening in usage rate. Anthony Edwards is 29.4% usage rate, which means that he uses nearly 30% of the possessions the Timberwolves have on offense when he is on the floor. D'Angelo Russell, 27.1%. Okay, so that means when they're on the floor together, they're using well over half of the Timberwolves' possessions. Karl-Anthony Towns, 25.5%, third on the team. That's 1.6% behind D'Angelo Russell and 3.9, nearly 4 percentage points behind Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards is great. He's fun. He's going to be an all-star at some point in the next couple of years, probably next year, maybe the year after. The way he played the last 6-8 weeks of last season was he basically all-star level anyway. He hasn't been that so far this season, and he's nowhere in the same neighborhood as Karl-Anthony Towns in terms of efficiency. Their three-point rates are almost identical. In fact, Edwards is a little bit higher. Cat's true shooting percentage is 63% this season. Anthony Edwards is 51.5%. So, he should be probably second on the team usage rate next to Towns. D'Lo sandwiched there in the middle. But Towns' usage rate must go up. It's just simply not an option. He's third on the team. This would be, if the season ended today, which is ridiculous to say, but if it did, this would be his lowest usage rate since 2017-18. That was Jimmy Butler's year in Minnesota, which obviously Butler had a larger, a higher usage rate. Antoine's second lowest usage rate, his rookie year and the Butler year, would be the only 2 years with a lower usage rate, which is absurd. We're talking about one of the top offensive talents in the league in the prime of his career, and he's third on the team in usage rate. And I know that Chris Finch has made some adjustments. And if you missed the postgame pod after Monday's loss, go back and listen to it. I talked about the in-game adjustments that kept Towns from getting bracketed and doubled on the catch in the post. And they started using him more on the perimeter. And I think that's the Wolves just need to mix more of that in and then get back to some of the post stuff, you know, later on, if it opens up that way, depending on how teams are defending him. So anyway, those are the three things: missing wide open shots, specifically three pointers, but just shots in general. Defensive rebounding to seal possessions that they actually do a good job of defending and getting a stop. They need to grab the rebound. And thirdly, Karl Anthony Towns' usage and the lack thereof at this stage in the season. All those things are things that need to improve for the Timberwolves if they're going to, you know, pull out of this mini tailspin. Well, it's not a mini tailspin anymore. We're more than a tenth of the way through the season. A significant size tailspin so far this season. And they've got a shot to do it. They have the Sacramento Kings Wednesday, the San Antonio Spurs Thursday, both beatable teams at Target Center. I want to talk Wolves Kings preview next. First, though, let's talk about the title sponsors of today's show. And that is, of course, Calm. When it comes to athletes, we tend to focus on physical fitness, but there's another side to the game that's just as important: mental fitness. Calm, the number one app for sleep and meditation, has teamed up with LeBron James to help you train your mind to become the champion version of yourself. LeBron and Calm know that your mind is like any other muscle in your body, but you don't have to be a world champion to learn how to train it. Calm can help you train your brain so you sleep better, reduce your stress, and perform at your best, just like King James. For LeBron, sleep is a critical part of his mental fitness routine. As he says, quote, "Getting good sleep and finding time to rest is one of the most valuable things I can do for my body and mind. From the sound of rain falling on leaves to bedtime sleep stories, Calm puts me to sleep within minutes, which means I wake up ready for any challenge," unquote. So if you head to calm.com/lockedonNBA for a limited time, you'll get 40% off a Calm premium subscription. With Calm, you have access to the nature scenes LeBron loves, like rain on leaves and so much more, like sleep stories and meditation, so you can be ready for any challenges that life throws your way. Again, for a limited time, our listeners can join LeBron in using Calm and get a 40% discount on a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/lockedonNBA. Unlock content to help you focus, ease stress, and sleep better. Get started at calm.com/lockedonNBA. That's calm.com/lockedonNBA. Let's also talk about Built Bar. I love Thanksgiving. All of the good food and treats and plenty of them, but maybe you want a yummy dessert that isn't so full of calories and sugar. It's the perfect time for Built Bars. Built Bar is the new holiday dessert. Feast on something delicious and feel good about it. One slice of pie has upwards of 300 calories, and that's on the low end. Most Built Bars are only 130 calories and only 4 grams of sugar with plenty of protein. Replace the coconut cream pie with coconut Built Bar, or go for a raspberry Built Bar instead of that raspberry pie. Lots of good flavors to replace any pie. Low calorie, low carb, low fat, and high protein covered in 100% real chocolate. Built is a great option for when you're hungry. If Thanksgiving isn't coming soon enough, go for a Built Bar or two now. Share some at your family gatherings. It'll make things less awkward. And maybe Aunt Betty hasn't tried a Built Bar yet, which is hard to believe. New surprises all month. Limited time flavors arriving at Built.com regularly. So check the site often. There's nothing like a Built Bar Black Friday. Mark your calendar. Black Friday will be a huge event with all sorts of surprises. Go to Built.com. Use promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, let's talk Wolves Kings. I mentioned on the show, the postgame pod after Wolves Suns on Monday, I was working on a crossover episode with Matt George of Locked On Kings. Unfortunately, something came up. We were not able to get that recorded. So I prepared a little bit, digging into the Kings. Won't have quite the same insight that Matt would, of course, but be sure to listen to Locked On Kings. He does a fantastic job. And the Kings, I joked about this in our preseason roundtable with the other hosts of teams that should be up and coming, like the Wolves and Kings, that the Kings are kind of the one franchise the Wolves have been able to lean on in the past, or Wolves fans at least have been able to lean on and say, well, at least we're not the Kings. Outside of the Rick Adelman years, of course, the fun teams with Vlade Divac and Chris Webber and University of Minnesota legend Bobby Jackson coming off the bench for some of those teams, Jason Williams, Doug Christie, the team that the Timberwolves beat to go to the Western Conference Finals back in 2004. That era Kings team, take that out of it, and the Wolves' history isn't any worse than the Kings, really, in Sacramento at least, and you know, from ownership, current ownership, to now the Marvin Bagley situation and Luke Walton, the rumors about his job security, all that stuff is going on. But yet the Sacramento Kings, through it all, not having a great season, but 6-8 is it's better than 4-9, right? It's what, 2.5 games better than 4-9. So the Kings are 6-8 so far this season. They have a couple of nice wins. They did win at Phoenix, and they did beat Charlotte at home. But their other wins are against the Pistons, the Pelicans twice, and Portland, which is a pretty good win on the road at Portland. But, I mean, not any more impressive than the Wolves' wins, and they've also got some bad losses. They lost recently to the Thunder and the Spurs. They had lost 4 straight until they beat the Pistons by 22 on Monday. So Matt would have come into this conversation riding high, I think, off of that win that broke the 4-game losing streak. So what we can say about the Kings so far this year, Marvin Bagley's obviously not in their rotation. They're leaning a lot on Harrison Barnes is having a fantastic year. At age 29, he's averaging over 20 points a game. He's shooting 42% from three. He's been solid defensively for them. I mean, if the season, again, I'll say this again, because why not? If the season ended today, Harrison Barnes, you could make a case for him being an all-star. He's been that good. Problem is he hasn't had much help. Rashawn Holmes has been good. Tyrese Haliburton. That's basically it. Buddy Hield has been in and out of the starting lineup. He's mostly come off the bench. He had a big game Monday in the win over the Pistons. De'Aaron Fox has been a little bit disappointing so far this season for them. He's still averaging 19.8 points per game, but he's shooting 23% from three on 4.5 attempts per game. As a team, the Kings are middle of the pack in 3-point attempts and makes. They're 15th and so literally middle of the pack in attempts per game, but 13th in percentage. And that's helped a lot, obviously, by Harrison Barnes shooting the way he's shooting, and also Buddy Hield's over 40%. And he shoots a high volume, over 10.5 3-point attempts per game Buddy Hield shoots. The team as a whole, it's one of the few teams the Wolves should be able to out-rebound. They're 26th in defensive rebounding rate, which is, I guess, still higher than the Wolves, but they're only 22nd in offensive rebounding rate. And as you'd expect, they play fast. They're 7th in pace in the league, according to Basketball Reference. The Timberwolves, by the way, are 9th in pace. And they've been more than comfortable to slow it down and just play iso ball in the half court, the Wolves have. But the Kings do like to play fast. Luke Walton likes to play fast. And this is certainly a winnable game. I mean, again, you look at some of the teams the Kings have matched up against, and you just kind of think, like, hey, if the Wolves are going to win a game, this is the one, right? It's not a back-to-back. It's at home. It's the Kings. Can they bounce back from what was really a pretty decent performance on Monday, just a disappointing, heartbreaking loss at the end? Of course, the game before that was the debacle in LA against the Clippers, but the one before that was a blowout win over the Lakers. So we got to settle somewhere in the middle. And outside of the, I guess there was the Magic game and the Pelicans game, which were both bad losses to teams the Wolves should be better than. I mean, I know the Kings are technically ahead of the Wolves in the standings right now, but this is a very winnable game that the Wolves should be able to come out with a victory. Expect the Kings to deploy a similar strategy on Karl-Anthony Towns as we saw. They don't really play a very big lineup. Alex Len's the biggest guy on that roster, and he doesn't play regular rotation minutes. There is, same thing with, actually, I mean, Damian Jones, same thing. They've been playing Shimizu Metu, I believe is how you say it. He plays heavier minutes for them has been more recently joining their rotation. So it's a team that mostly plays smaller, and you're not going to see them really play Towns, you know, straight up in the paint, like occasionally the Clippers did with Ivica Zubac. I think we'll see more of, you know, smaller guys guarding him, whether that's Rashawn Holmes or maybe a little bit of Harrison Barnes even, although they won't want to get him in foul trouble, and then bracketing him on the catch. And I'd like to see the Wolves try some more horn sets. I'd like them to try more five out and give Towns the opportunity to create on the perimeter and be a little bit more creative that way. Okay, I want to close the show by peeking in at the Iowa Wolves and the exciting game that went down on Tuesday, and check in on Balmaro and check in on a two-way player, McKinley Wright. So we're going to do that next. First, though, let's talk about betonline.ag. We're back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of the basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From football to basketball, NHL to boxing and UFC, including your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Okay. Real quick, correcting my mispronunciation. It's Chemezi Metu. I should have had that ready, and I apologize. Chemezi Metu is how you say the name of the Kings big man who has started to play a bit more for them of late. So anyway, all right, let's talk Iowa Wolves. And full disclosure, Iowa Wolves play again on Wednesday night. And so I'm going to go back and watch both of these games. When we talked about the Wolves the last time, I did watch that game and give some analysis on what I saw from Balmaro. This one I have not watched yet. I'm going to go back and watch this one and the next one and then be able to give a more full analysis of what I've seen so far. So this is strictly box score, full disclosure. But if you aren't caught up on what the Iowa Wolves are up to, box score / Twitter, I should say. The Iowa Wolves, by the way, on Twitter have an Isaiah Miller dunk thread going. So pay attention to that because it's a ton of fun. McKinley Wright was an absolute monster. Remember in the double overtime win last week, he had a shot in the final 2 minutes of regulation, first overtime and second overtime, including the game winner. And this time around, 30 points on 10 of 13 shooting, made both of his 3-point attempts, perfect 8 of 8 at the line. He also had 8 assists, 7 rebounds, only 3 turnovers in 34 minutes. Just a huge night for McKinley Wright. Super efficient. I should also say the Iowa Wolves won 124-109. Leandro Balmaro, also a really impressive night. He was back. Remember, he traveled with the team on the road trip and actually played in garbage time against the Clippers on Saturday. He was back with Iowa, and he will be. He's not going to play in the Wolves game on Wednesday against the Kings because he'll be with Iowa playing for them. But in this one, he had 22 points on 8 of 17 shooting, so just a hair under 50% from the field, 5 of 9 on threes. He was a team best plus 19 in the plus minus column. 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals for Balmaro. He did have 3 turnovers. He also added a block shot. So the two guys that you want to see perform the best, McKinley Wright and Leandro Balmaro, both fantastic in this game. And those are the two guys that we're paying the closest attention to. Nathan Knight, of course, is up with the Wolves with Nasri dealing with the foot injury. And he, by the way, Reed is questionable for the game on Wednesday against the Kings. Also, I should have mentioned this earlier, Josh Okogie is also questionable with back spasms as of right now. Brian Bowen also, by the way, the former two-way player for the Indiana Pacers, had 19.6 rebounds, 6 of 11 shooting for Bowen. He's had a little bit of a slow start to the G League season, but good to see him get going. Isaiah Miller, who I've been keeping an eye on because if you're a regular listener, you know I've been talking about him since July when he was added to the Summer League team because I really like him as a hard-nosed third point guard type at the NBA level, hopefully eventually. He only had 4 points on 2 of 10 shooting, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals for him. Rough night. I believe he also had another massive dunk, though, if Twitter does not lie, he had, which I guess it does sometimes, the video footage on Twitter does not lie, he had another big dunk in this one, a putback dunk, I believe. So overall, good performance from the Iowa Wolves. By the way, they played against the Grand Rapids Gold, and there's a couple familiar names on the Grand Rapids Gold roster. You don't have to be a college basketball or international basketball junkie to recognize some of these names. Lance Stevenson, former Timberwolves, we'll just call him a Timberwolves great, is playing for the Grand Rapids Gold. He had 13 points on 4 of 9 shooting, 6 rebounds. He also had 6 turnovers, as only Lance Stevenson can do. 13.6 turnovers in 28 minutes. Another familiar name, not a former Timberwolf, but a former lottery pick, Nick Stauskas, former Michigan Wolverine, 27.6 rebounds, 4 assists, shot 8 of 17 and made 4 threes on 9 tries from deep for the Gold. Also, Tariq Black, former Houston Rocket, is on that roster. He did not play in this game. So interesting stuff. And I'm looking forward to watching this one back and get a little Lance Stevenson in my life here. And then after the Iowa Wolves game, let's see who they're playing, if I can pull that up. But the Iowa Wolves play Grand Rapids again, actually, on Wednesday. And that game's on ESPN Plus. If you have ESPN Plus, you should be able to watch it. And I believe most of the games are on YouTube or on the website. So you can watch these games. I'm going to go back. I'm going to watch this one. I'll watch tomorrow's game as well and be able to provide a more full analysis later this week on the Iowa Wolves and specifically Leandro Balmaro and McKinley Wright the fourth. Beyond the box score, we will talk about their performance so far this season. All right, that's all we have for you on the show today. We'll be back, of course, with the post-game podcast following Wolves Kings on Wednesday, and that'll be Thursday's show. And then the Timberwolves turn around and play again Thursday night, back-to-back against the Spurs. So we'll hit a quick preview as well leading into Thursday's game. And then Thursday night, we'll do another post-game pod. So it's a full week of games with 3 during the week instead of 1 on the weekend. Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then the Wolves play again on Saturday. So we'll have post-game pods for all those. Thanks, first of all, for making Locked On Wolves your first listen each and every day. A reminder that you can listen anywhere you get podcasts. That includes YouTube now. So you can watch on YouTube. If you don't want to watch on YouTube and don't want to see my face, the great news is you can find it anywhere, any audio platform, including Apple, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and of course, the all-new Odyssey app. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. And my account is at bbeacon with two Bs, two Es, C-K-E-N. That's all we have for you today. A reminder that Locked On Wolves is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.